It's an interesting way to start the sermon off, actually. Mark Smith came up to me right before service, said, "How can I pray for you this week, Jake?" And I said, "Would you just please pray for the sermon? Like, I just feel like I need Jesus' help." So the reason for that is we're driving towards something that I don't have any power to bring you guys to. And we've got some tents set up over here on the side of the parking lot. That's because we're going to do a response time kind of like we used to at the end of service. So you can pray with other people at the end of service if you want to. Whether you want to pray with somebody else or not, what we're trying to drive towards is, do you really trust Jesus? Do you really trust him? Because if you really believe in Jesus, then you're going to trust him, and it's going to change your whole life. And a lot of us, we will talk about, I believe in Jesus. That's why we're probably here in a parking lot this morning, right? But the sort of believing in Jesus that changes your whole life, that's what I know I don't have the power to give to you guys. But our hope is in Jesus himself, that he is alive and active. And if you'll open up your heart today, I want to talk to you about passage in the Bible that shows us two different types of people. And at the start of the story, there's Jesus and there's everybody else. And everybody else is pretty messed up and evil. And when we look around at ourselves, whatever we have on the outside, that's our by ourselves condition, right? We're a group of prideful or violent or both sorts of people. And that's who's in this story that we're going to read about. But at the end of the story, there's one guy who makes a change. And the Gospel of Mark, if you read it as a whole thing, it's very interesting how little it talks about Jesus being the Son of God. And we're going to get to that spot of who figures that out in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to get there today. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 15. If you got a Bible, turn there with us. If you don't have a Bible, just let us know. We'll get you one. But Mark 15, starting at verse 29. So this is Jesus' crucifixion. So they've literally nailed Jesus to a cross about 9 in the morning. And it was a bright, sunny day, possibly just like this morning, right? And he's up there for a few hours. And the beginning of his time up there, there's a bunch of people passing by. This is a big attraction at that moment. And there's a lot of people who come up to Jesus with this feeling of, I knew better. I told you so. You're not the real deal. They come up with pride towards Jesus. And it's easy to look at those people and think like, oh, what jerks those people are. But if we look at ourselves, the way that we live a lot of times, the way we've lived our life is, I know better. My way is best. And we've got pride even about ourselves, right? So let's look and see what people do. It says they crucified Jesus. Let's see, verse 27. They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Verse 29 says, those who passed by hurled insults at Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, so, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. So there's this idea of Jesus had made a big statement, and now, here are a bunch of guys saying, you're not such a big deal. Verse 31, in the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law, these are the most religious people of their day. They think they are great people. Mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. So there's this side conversation going on between the leaders, and they had seen Jesus help other people, but they said, but look, he doesn't have any power in this moment. They're mocking Jesus right as he's bleeding out for the sins of the world. So that's the first group of people. There's a lot of different people in that group, but the first group of people in this story are people who say, I have it figured out, and I know that Jesus isn't the answer. And for somebody here today, you might think, I don't need Jesus to fix what's going on with me. I've got this or that other good idea that I'm going to try first. And before you just breeze over that and think like, well, that's not me. We were just talking in Sunday school with Eddie, and he was talking about who do you go to when you have a problem in your life? Is God the very last solution that you look to? Do you try to fix everything on your own strength first? So what does that show? That shows this idea of I can do it on my own. If you look back over your last week, does belief in Jesus set the tone for the last week with the way that you talked, with the people that you talked to, with the way that you spent your money, with the things you did with your body? Are those things that reflect like I need Jesus, or does it reflect I've got this on my own? So most people don't stick around for the whole crucifixion. The crucifixion takes a lot of hours, and most people miss this next part of the story that we're going to read. And for many of us, we might have a little bit of time for God in our lives, a little bit of time for Jesus, but we miss really changing because we don't stick around with Jesus for very long. We quit right before the miracle, right? So 9 a.m, it's sunny outside, Jesus is on the cross, people are mocking him, insulting him, but they get bored with that and they go about the rest of their day. There's a whole day ahead of them. But some of the guys are on the clock and working. There's soldiers there who literally are murdering Jesus because they were told to, and they got to stick around till it's over. So there's some soldiers sticking around throughout the day. And about noon, about 3 hours after Jesus gets up on the cross, the weather starts to reflect how God is feeling over this whole thing. It says darkness comes over the whole land. We don't really know exactly even what that means. Was that just a natural phenomenon? 3 hours of darkness is not something that's easy to explain, right? So there's 3 hours of darkness that most people are probably thinking, what's that about? But they're not there looking at Jesus. They're not around Jesus. So let's look. Let's keep reading. Verse 33, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how Jesus died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. So some people start to hear Jesus making a bunch of noise and being active, and they think, in this kind of hopeful way, maybe something miraculous is going to happen. Maybe Jesus is going to get off the cross. Most of us would call something like that belief. It's this idea of, I hope God does something good. I hope something happens nice right now to make this bad situation better. And a lot of times we call that belief, but that's really just hope. I'm hoping something good happens. They don't really declare anything about Jesus. The centurion at the end of it expresses what I would call his real belief in Jesus. He says, surely he's the Son of God. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, that Mark says, this is the story about Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. The whole book of Mark is that story, but that phrase only comes up one time. Mark wanted to put a spotlight with his entire book on this centurion to say all the disciples didn't quite say it like this. They knew he was the Messiah, but there's nobody in Mark says you're the Son of God except for this guy who literally was in charge of murdering Jesus. Like, you don't get any worse than the centurion. I mean, maybe Judas or somebody, but I mean, this is a bad guy in this story. But he was watching Jesus and he watched Jesus for 6 hours, and he saw how Jesus died. And even when the miracle that they were hoping for didn't happen, he believes. Why does he believe? He sees Jesus die. I don't know what the centurion knew about Jesus before that, why he knew he was the Son of God. But what I do know for us today, if we want to have belief in Jesus, we can learn something from the centurion. The centurion stuck around for 6 hours paying attention to Jesus. And then, even though they just murdered this guy, and obviously Rome and all the other people around are against Jesus, this guy says, I'm going to say out loud in front of everybody else that this guy is the Son of God. He saw enough of Jesus to make that statement, even if it was going to have a bad impact for him. He was willing to sacrifice after he witnessed the sacrifice that Jesus had made. For you today, if you're here and Jesus is a side part of your life, a side hustle in your life is like being a Christian. It's kind of your side retirement plan. Sometimes people will work a side job on like Saturdays or Sundays, and they'll put that towards some sort of jar for retirement. If that's what it is, if Jesus is just this like fire insurance that you give a little bit to each week, I would challenge you, spend some sort of time looking at Jesus when things are dark. Because in the light of day, all these people thought, I got my good ideas, I'm going to insult Jesus and tell him I don't need him, and then go about the rest of my life. But that guy who stuck around in the darkness and paid attention to Jesus, he came to believe in Jesus in such a way that he would stand up for Jesus. A lot of us want to run out of the dark times or hard times as fast as we can. What I would challenge you to do is, have you noticed where Jesus is at in your life right now? Because this story is half light and half darkness, but Jesus is there the whole way through this story. In your life, it might be getting really good right now. Maybe you think, oh, something, you know, something's behind you that you want behind you. Maybe you got a little bit of sober time, or you got a job that's a little better, or you got a vehicle, or you got vaccinated and you're excited about that. Whatever's going on that you think like, oh, now I can do my thing. Are you paying attention to what is Jesus doing around you? And if the opposite is true, if you feel like everything's dark and even the stuff you were hoping was going to happen doesn't happen, are you paying attention to what is Jesus doing? So we're here today, and we've got this beautiful day that Jesus has given us. And we got quite a bit of time together this morning because we're going to do things a little differently with our response time and then after our response time. So to catch you up a little bit on our plan for the day, the roses are cooking hot dogs, I think, right at the moment and right over there. And a bunch of friends helping them. And we're going to have like hot dogs and I don't know what all over there. But to get to that spot of hanging out together, I want us to do something first. When 1 John talks about this idea of when we have fellowship with Jesus, when we're connected with Jesus the way we're supposed to be, then we can really be connected with each other. And there's been a long time as a church since we've all been in the same spot. Like all winter long, we were split up in these different rooms. And it's not been easy to be that way, right? And it's the weirdest year I've ever seen, right? You know? And, I mean, even as you look around, like, some of us feel comfortable in masks. Some of us hate the masks and think they're silly. I mean, there's, like, instantly, there's, like, all sorts of stuff to have between us, right? But I believe that if we get our connection with Jesus right, then our connection with each other flows out of that. That not necessarily we're going to agree on every single thing instantly, this idea of Jesus wants us to be together, wants us to have respect for each other. And I think a lot of us, myself included, like we want respect for ourselves, but Jesus wants us to be given respect to each other first, right? So before we can get to that let's have fun together moment, there's this, are we right with God? Do we have our relationship with God right? Because if we try to make a happy relationship with somebody else, whether it's in a marriage or just a friendship at church or whatever it is, you can't start having good relationships with other people if you don't have a good relationship with God. And so today we saw in this story with the centurion, somebody who made a lot of mistakes probably in their life, but they paid attention to Jesus and they said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Son of God means you know best, you're the most powerful. It even means you own me, right? No one could really claim to own a person other than our Creator, right? There's this idea that we owe everything, our allegiance and our very selves, to God. So when someone says, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, they're saying, I think Jesus knows best, I think he's the most powerful, and I think I belong to him. So this week, when you get up for work tomorrow, or when you come home from work tomorrow night, or when you're talking to your kids after they misbehave, or when you are talking to the caseworker because you can't talk to your kids, whatever is going on, do you really act like Jesus knows best? Jesus is all powerful? Jesus owns you? Like, is that the way you're acting? Because if you're acting that way, you have this trust that even if I can't see it all work out, and even if the miracle I'm hoping for doesn't happen, I'm trusting that God knows best, that God can do something in the midst of this bad thing, and that me doing the next right thing with him is my part of it. I don't have to control it all. I just have to listen and obey. So I'm going to talk to you guys about these two tents that we've got. And Daniel and the worship team are going to come back up. They're going to lead us in a time of response. And we've got plenty of time this morning